You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, which, as you know, serves Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. And as always, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite one more person to tune in to the radio broadcast so our family of listeners will continue to grow. For those of you that received our email this morning, why not forward that to a family and friend and also let them get involved with our program? I'm getting a lot of good people talking about all that we're trying to do. And as you see in the media, what's going on, we'll talk a little bit about that today. It's almost unbelievable how jobs and our future has to become our obligation more than anyone else's. On the radio today is Mark Andel, and Mark is what a distinguished gentleman. As you know, he is the founder of the Made in America store, has done almost unbelievable things. If we had more Mark Andels in the USA, we would have a lot less problems and a lot more jobs. Mark, give us an update. How are things going with you?
Oh, how you doing, Mike, and listeners, and Rich, congratulations again on your new addition to your family. And Mike, it's been a crazy time, for the Made in America General Welding team. We just came out of the Eden Corn Festival, which is a small festival we do up here every year, last Thursday through Sunday. But we, in the last 4 days, set up the Erie County Fair, which is, again, the second largest county fair in the country. 1 million plus come through their gates over a 12-day period. But we opened today at noon. So both displays, the Made in America store, we set up a 6,000-square-foot store inside a building. And then we got the General Welding display with trailers and snow plows. And it's our big push. It's our time to sell, Mike. So the team's been tested again, and they never let me down. So the team and family came through. We were there late last night, and everything's set up. And we'll make the 12 o'clock opening just shortly in a half hour here. So, Mike, we're on the move. And I'll tell you, the Made in America movement is strong. It's never more needed in our country. We just had some buses come to the store. And these people, the climate of the country can be told off the buses that visit my store in Elma, New York. I ask all the people. But they love what we're doing. They love what we stand for. They want real change, though. They want this country to, you know, where it was when they remember. And the demographic on the buses is 50 to 90. But they love America, and they're proud of America. And they're really proud of us giving respect to America. Even your radio show, Mike, does the same thing. We give respect to America. And, boy, do we need qualified officials.
Wow, Mark, when I look at what's happening on the TV and all this and read in the paper, it's enough to scare the hell out of you. You know, yeah, most people, Mark, don't understand, and I talk to a lot of the tourists in historic Philadelphia, most people don't understand what going into business is all about. They just, you know, think it's as easy as possible, but it's really not. It's time, it's commitment, it's anguish, which you've really helped to lay out on the table for a lot of people. Many small business owners that I talk to, I encourage them to tell their employees what the startup is, how much it costs to operate things, even pay electric bills and things like that. Because most people, I hate to say it, are not grasping that.
And Mike, you know, when I say we're doing a 12-day fair and we just came out of a 4-day show, we still have our 8 stores open. We still have our General Welding that runs 24/6. We don't shut nothing down. We do it with the same people. We test the family and friends, and it's more stress. We do it because we have to make payroll. And my big question, Mike and Lark and Rich and the audience, you know, how many politicians could really make it in the private sector? You know, how many could actually make a paycheck every week? Because first thing we've got to do every week with General Welding Made America is make a $40,000 payroll. You know, we've got to actually make that and bring it in throughout a week to at least do that one expense out of 100.
And Mark, most people don't understand, even if you took in that amount of money,
right,
that doesn't mean you have that money totally designated to pay the people. you have a lot of work to do to get that profit up to the amount of money you need to pay your expenses, buy your materials, and then also make sure that the people are paid. Most people don't understand that.
The average grocery store, Mike, runs on a 1% profit. That means they've got to sell, you know, $1 million to make $10,000. It's amazing.
There is a book that's out now. It's called Surviving My Own Small Business. It's by Paul Downs. And he talks about in there his experience opening his own business and people not understanding what it takes to really open a business and maintain it so that it doesn't fall down. Many of the businesses that open, within a year, they're gone. You see it yourself in a lot of the strip malls and things like that.
Absolutely. And it's sad.
It's sad because these are many possibilities. And today you then have all the people who are being displaced because the ladies and gentlemen of the merchandising world just took everything and said, well, we're not going to pay this or that to American workers. We can buy at half price. You know, I had a very good experience talking with some people in historic Philadelphia, and I'm always interested to hear what people have to say. But there was one gentleman who was from the Carolinas who came by and immediately started talking to me after I finished up with a few other visitors. And he said to me, I want you to know something. What you're saying is really fact, not fiction. Most people think you're just bibble babbling, but it's really not. He said, I worked for a merchandising company for 30 years. And he said, what happened in the 30-year time? He said, we came to the American businesses and we told them how much easier it would be to present our products on their doorstep, ready for them to distribute to the stores. And we talked and talked, and he was a wonderful man. He said to me that a well-spoken salesperson 30 years ago could sell anything to the American businessman because the cost of operating in America started to really go up. Then all the corporate taxes went up and all the sin taxes, as they call them, for operating a business, your business privilege tax and all this and that started to go up so high that it became a problem. So he said, when I went around as the representative of the trading company, he said, I spoke to the people in the businesses and they said, I agree with you. Why should we pay a dollar for something when we can buy it foreign made for 20 cents. But he also made a very good point, and this reflects our national leaders, our businesses, and all the people not speaking up 25, 30 years ago. He said the biggest problem happened 25, 30 years ago as all the countries of the world started to become emerging democracies, started to come into the global economy, and they then started to open up all these industries. Mark, you've experienced it firsthand.
Absolutely. You know, it's just so hard, like you're touching on, and our listeners, to realize what it takes, you know, with a business and why we bring that up. I mean, if a perceived value for something, if it's a cup of coffee, if it's $3, you can't make it, it can't cost you $6 and sell it for $3. And that's usually the problem we run into as a manufacturer. We'll make something, it's beautiful, it's high quality, but the perceived value, the person just they can't afford to pay the $200 when they're paying $99 in a store. So that hurts you. But again, I'm always about the livelihood at the end. So when we educate people what's going on, when we talk about supporting your locals, your community, and buying in your own country, made in America, producing more than you can consume, and creating jobs. People don't realize when we talk they need jobs, and the politician, when we're telling them you have to talk about jobs. We need work. As General Welding right now in West New York, very, very tough economy. It makes me mad that enough people aren't talking about the shape this economy is. And I'll tell you, the oil and mining industry, of course, took a big hit, and I'm a big part of that. But a lot of banks are not giving loans or capital to our businesses that have been in business 30 years because, you know, we joke and call it overwriting now. They won't give the money out. And then again, I was related to the snow industry, so Mother Nature always plays its part. And no snow, of course, sales go down in snow removal equipment. But generally, talking to the carnies or the fair and the show people, One gentleman did 36 shows around the country. The economy is generally down 25 to 30%, and we just felt that exactly at our Eden Fair show we did last week. We were down exactly the $3,000 from last year. So, Mike, that is the barometer of the country, not the media. We have trouble admitting what's going on, and I bring that up because there's been no change. You know,
you're right, Mark.
Change.
You are
there's
so
been
right.
No change.
You are so right.
And they have to admit it.
Americans have trouble admitting that we have made bad decisions. Yeah. One of the bad decisions was that we didn't speak up 25, 30 years ago when things were happening. How can you ride down a road and see a business downsize to half and then close up 3 years later? Well, that during that three-year period, they were actually relocating overseas, and nobody in the company, none of the leaders, none of the people who were manufacturing or whatever, they just accepted it.
Yeah,
and this
Mike,
is the problem of acceptance in America.
Yeah,
yes.
You've seen the movie, the American-made movie, and what's neat in there, they showed Detroit from the air. It looks like a war zone.
Yep.
I mean, it's incredible to see how much industry has left this country and world. And like you said, it's a 25, 30-year mistake. But we don't need just lip service. We need action. We've got to raise the tariffs. We've got to grow this country and take care of our homeland and create jobs. You need work. But people sitting in service industry or funded jobs, other means, they just don't see it or feel it. It's really not their fault. They don't feel what we're talking about. And I think that's the biggest problem.
And Mark, you know yourself. You could have been tempted to do a lot of things, shipping them overseas.
Absolutely.
As well. Because
I'd be
this
way better off, Mike.
This gentleman made some very good comments to me. We talked about the fact that once the businesses were shown the road to larger profits without, you know, wasting a dollar, you know, on their from their pocket, they immediately took it, and they love the idea. Why should I buy something for a dollar that I can buy for 20 cents and sell it for the same amount of money in the American stores? And the American customers became customers no matter what. They wanted the product. So you look at some of the labels. I was out the other day, and I was pleased. I went to a particular Walmart store, and I did look in the school supply area, and this year more and more stuff is made in America. There is also some of those markers and all that are made and assembled in America. So take a look at this stuff, but more importantly, call the manager over. That little bit of time that you take from your time really makes a hit, because when those managers have a meeting, they say, well, you know, people are really starting to talk. If they don't hear from the general public, then they're not going to have that to say. And it's because foreign-made products made it much easier to say for themselves with less operational costs that all of us are now suffering. And it didn't happen in 2 or 3 years. Everybody tells me this is a 30-year mistake, and there's nobody. If I respect more of those politicians, quite frankly, if they got up there and would say those words, we have witnessed a 30-year mistake, which we are going to take, you know, steps to end.
Yep, and I think that's what has to happen. You know, that's what we want, Mike. Admit it, let's fix it. But, you know, when I say a bus comes in, a lot of the listeners don't realize, so a tour bus comes in yesterday from Illinois, and they were on the road for 7 days. You know, they had left their town, and they went to Boston for 4 days, and they come up, and we're a stop on their route. And when they got here yesterday, they were tired, being on the road 8 days. But when I tell them the bus story, what happened to me, globalization affected us, and we lost our work, and we're about, we have the 7,000 products built in our country now and support 100%, and they're triple-certified products, they cheer, and they come in, and they had a ball. But listening to their stories and, you know, veterans and people that worked at manufacturing, they've actually seen it all happen, Mike, and it's awesome because they lived through it. You know, a lot of them, again, are 70, 80, 90. But, you know, they know that we've got to change and you have to make products. But they ask me why. I always tell them it's not sexy enough. It's, you know, people just don't do it. But once they're educated that we don't have nothing that plugs in, we have nothing that that takes a battery, again, like you, they ask, how did this happen over the time, and how can we fix it? You know, again, we're a speck of dust on this big carpet, really, with, you know, West New York 8 stores, but we're making a difference, and they're proud of it. But we got to keep that moving. Our listeners have to go out every night. You have to ask for Made in America products.
Or don't spend your money. I'm doing the same thing. And by the way, Mark, I can see why the economy is down, because people are saying they're just not going to buy it. Some people tell me, I go to my drawers and closets and I see, God, I have that. I forgot about that. That's the same color that's being featured now. I'll use it this summer.
Right.
This is what's happening, because this gentleman was very intelligent, very good salesman. I could tell he was a good salesman. He said, once well-spoken, I love that line, once well-spoken merchandisers often offered foreign-made products to the businesses in America, they got the purchase orders and the American workers got the pink slips.
There you go.
That's, he said that that's the way it was. And, you know, once the outsourcing became the thing to do and the American people didn't speak up, there was no reason for America's industries, people like yourself that want to stay in the USA, there was no reason for them to revitalize their businesses, to go with the modern technology, to be competitive. No, they just figured, I'm going to fall down sooner or later, so I might as well go along with the flow, buy the foreign stuff, as long as the American people are not looking at the labels. But believe it or not, some people, some time ago, people would say to me, nobody's going to look at labels. That's about 7-8 years ago. There was one particular gentleman. I mean, he brutalized me terrible over telling people to look at labels. See, who has time to do that? I said, well, you're a young guy. You have young boys in your house. You take them out to teams. You go rowing on the river and all. I said, you still have a job. But sooner or later, people around you are not going to have employment, and you're going to want those jobs. You're going to start looking at those labels. When I see those people now, they say, who would ever believe it came to this in the last 7 years? I said, no, Joe, not in the last 7 years that you're being affected. This has been going on for 30 years where everybody has been affected. Those foreign merchandisers gave no ideas to the Americans to revitalize. They just gave them ideas. Let us handle it for you, and you just be the merchandiser of your products, your labels here in the USA. And that's what we're trying to stop.
You know, and Mike, it's neat on a small scale. Remember, 6 years ago, we started with 50 products because I wanted to triple certify. I wanted 100%. And that's just our concept and core value. We know everybody can't be 100%. We didn't know the challenge we were taking on. But to have 7,000 products supporting 500 privately owned, a lot of them mom-and-pop businesses, watching them grow from our purchase orders, and even with this Kinney drugstore and the store-in-store concept where we're getting small store sections in each store that exists, because we're triple certifying and they can brag that it's 100% in this section, Mike, to see the change we've made as a small company and to watch people have to hire, have to buy equipment, it works. We're a working model that works.
You are absolutely right. And Mark, that's why everyone tells me I enjoy listening to Mark Handel, because he's a realist. He's been through it. You take these politicians. In fact, people laugh when I said a few times that we should have Mark Handel run for president. They thought it was a good idea. They said, well, if anybody knows how to hold his tongue and be realistic, it's Mark. And I said, well, I'll have to tell him that. So I'm telling you publicly to everybody.
I need 20 years yet. But I'm not qualified. But, you know, I mean, to see what we do and to see our great team and family, even, you know, Jackie, we're out at the store last night, my wife. It's a lot of stress. An entrepreneur goes through a lot with the family. You need great partners. You're all involved. But hopefully you all get a livelihood. Our children get a livelihood. Our my nephews at our 30s, they get to raise their children from the livelihood. Because you want comfort and security. And what I see, that the country's really lacking confidence. Our area, when I say oil and mining industry is down, you know, we got a couple places that have 500, 200 employees laid off. I know, just thinking offhand, five on my hand that have 1,500 employees altogether laid off. The problem is that them employees don't go out to the fair tonight because it opened. Or if they do, they're on a shoestring budget, you know. And a lot of people don't grab them times, and it makes me mad when I see how wonderful everything is on TV or the media. The media is so off track sometimes. I'm in the arena, Mike. I'm living the game. Everybody gets to watch from the sidelines a lot of times, and it makes you mad when you're working so hard and put 30 years in to where we are with the right incentives, the right tax breaks, helping small business, helping our own country. We could do so much better.
Oh, man, Mark, you're better than the campaign speech writers.
Yeah, it's just true. You know,
you're right. The people don't go out to the fairs. I see it even at the shore. My daughter, Marianne, lives down the shore with her husband, Andrew, and their baby, Gabriella. And when I go down, which is quite often, I see that what's happening. The hotels used to be filled, and this has been great weather this summer. They would be filled during the week. Now they're mainly Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is not so much because people are either taking rides down to save the hotel bill. It wasn't like that before. This economy has hurt even the travel industry. It's hurt all the people,
absolutely,
the recreational industry. They drive down, go to the beach, and you know, I've gone to different places, and the people said, "Yeah, we're getting an early start back home, and because we're here, we're day trippers now." And you know, I enjoy talking to people, and I give out our flyers. Mark, your mugshot is on so many people's desks and in their suitcases and all. Nobody would believe. I mean,
yeah. Well, you know, Mike, we talk about disposable income. We don't bring it up enough, and people need that extra income. But you got two people in the family, husband and wife, working to have the same wage they had 30 years ago. Two people don't realize the stress that puts on families. It's very hard. The breakdown of the middle class is incredible. How small it's gotten, and we've sent all our money overseas. Right or wrong or whose fault isn't a problem right now. We just got to admit it and change. So much money from businesses going overseas when you buy something if the headquarters is overseas. And that's where we're educating the people to take a look. And hopefully they really start talking it up because it works. You know, people have a lot of power. Even in this election, it's a shame you got two choices. Just tough times. We need somebody to really get into office, and then the work begins. I mean, they got so much work to do, and they can only get it started.
You're absolutely right. I'm telling you, I don't know what is going to happen. I can't tell people to vote one way or the other. All I can encourage them to do is register to vote. There's a link on the front page of our site. No matter what state you live in, be prepared to vote. And our job on this broadcast and many other broadcasters that I speak with are saying that this year they are just going to urge people to vote, listen to what the candidates have to offer, and then make your own choice. It's not where some candidate has, you know, been so unbelievable after their convention, put out a 10-point plan of this is what's going to happen on this particular day. As soon as I get in, within my first 100 days in office, that's not happening. That's not happening. It's so much mudslinging. I'm disappointed. And, you know, I will tell you this, Mark. People tell me this, and I can see here in even the little local stores that featured a lot of the foreign-made stuff. Now, as the consumers are taking the time to look at the labels, and they really are being more selective how they spend their dollars, business owners are seeing that more foreign-made inventory sitting on the shelf. In fact, the store owners, even in the historic district, come over and say, isn't that a wonderful part, you know, made, beautifully made, and oh, it'll, you can put it on your mantle. And the people are now responding because the people tell me, oh, I don't want to spend that kind of money. It's foreign made. It probably costs a dollar, and you want $12 for it. I'm not going to do it. So people are holding out for the American made stuff. And that's a big plus.
And the hard part, Mike, of these small businesses around, you know, Philly or Buffalo, You know, it's hard. People don't realize they got to make cash. You know, they got to sell product and make cash flow. Cash flow is the blood of the company. If they don't sell enough during a week to make that next week's payroll, utility, rent, the top, I call them the top expenses that you can't not pay, they're out of business. So, you know, that's why the entrepreneur might do 40, 60, 70 hours or 80 hours or 100 hours herself a week, because they've got to each week come up with that money. You know, and I want to talk about, Mike, back in 2011, the summer of 2011, Sue had sent me on all these crazy trips to do a, you know, be a speaker. We were requested, so I took a spot. Sue signed me up for in Dubuque, Iowa, and I was asked to be a speaker for the UAW. And I went as the Made in America, you know, man, and we showed the DVD with Diane Sawyers, and then I did a speech. But I did my speech right next to Denny Williams, the president at the time, UAW, and there was thousands of people, and they had President Obama cutouts all around. And I remember, they loved what I said, our bus story, what I've done, and what we've opened up, and where we're going. And there was a lot of hugs and handshakes. It was unbelievable. One thing, when the president of the UAW was speaking, they said, "Hey, we got to get President Obama reelected again." And they at first booed, and he said, "You know, don't look in the rearview mirror. You know, I know he hasn't made a lot of change. We got to give him another chance." And I never forget. I was just listening there. Again, I'm with Made in America. I stay neutral. I'm just for with the American Party, you know. And but I'll never forget him booing, but then I'm talking him into it. No, let's give him another run. And I only bring that up because, truthfully, the change in 8 years, and it's a tough job. I mean, but there hasn't been much. You know, me being honest in business, there just hasn't been much help at all. I'm in the same place. My health insurance is worse. We're battling about a $16,000, $18,000 monthly payment for my people. We got such major problems keeping the lights and the doors open that we just can't keep going on like this.
That's right. And you, what you are saying is what is happening at a lot of small businesses across the USA. If we don't get a real leader who's going to speak up for Americans first, I mean, if you noticed, even in this last election and the convention and all, there was more time spent on non-important issues, for what I would say are non-important issues, instead of talking about our jobs and the path to making more jobs. We would talk about how are we going to bring back the industries. That should have been all outlined during the conventions.
And
the
Mike, industry, how do we get listeners to realize what we're talking about? We talk about jobs. We talk about electing qualified officials, buying Made in America. How do we get them to understand what exactly we're talking about without having a business? It's kind of like being healthy and but respecting people with cancer. You've got to look into it. You know, you got to educate yourself. You got to really go and talk to owners maybe and just really feel for them locals and what people go through to live the American dream or just to supply food, shelter, and clothing. Because I think if we can't do that, if they just elect to elect or just vote for a party, they kind of don't understand what's going on.
Well, Mark, I do agree with you, and this is part of the problem. You have the people that are working, that are struggling along to pay the bills. Then you have what, when you can look on the debt clock on the front page of American Workers Radio and see that we have 94 plus million people that are not in the workforce. It's the 94 plus million people.
Almost a third.
That's right. Almost a third have,
million, right?
Have,
people in the US.
Have accepted there's nothing going to happen in America. And our biggest problem now is getting private sector businesses to expand and relocate in the United States.
With a few adjustments, Mike, they can change that by renegotiating unfair trade deals.
Everybody's talking about, let's get those deals.
Taxes.
There's only one good thing that people tell me they love about Trump's presentation this past week, where he said he's going to lower the corporate tax and this and that. It's a beginning of a discussion point.
Yes.
That should have been done 6 months ago when they first announced. They went through a lot of rigmarole that's been 6 months wasted. Now we are 90 days away from the big event, and still there's really nothing in writing that I can say, well, I could agree with that. You, as a businessman, working every day to maintain your business, you could say, oh, that's perfect. We're talking about now reducing the corporate tax, trying to bring those tax dollars back to the United States. How do you urge private sector businesses to expand in a country where they have already unbelievable competition coming from other parts of the world.
You know, it's funny, and in the business or in the family, I got people on both sides. Some are for Hillary, some are for Trump. Some are just for change, like we're talking about. Some want an outsider. Some want Washington to start getting rearranged. But it's very hard. I heard Trump had put $60 million of his own money in by June 14th, I think he started to collect. But I thought of a man to put $60 million of his own money and had a life that he doesn't need any more stress to take on something like this. It's incredible to me, really, if you break that down. And, Hillary, again, has the years' experience in the political arena, but is it the arena we want? So it's such a hard decision.
It's going to be the most brutal election that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, you got to break it down, though. You know, it's just we need change. You know, it comes down, we need change. And I don't know if you can do it with an insider.
And, somebody is going to really have to talk about the college debt, the personal debt that people are in. And it's really because many of the people tried to keep up with the Joneses. A lot of the kids went to the colleges. I talk to people when they come to visit. I talk to them in the social service agency. And they tell me, well, I thought that this was going to be in demand by the time I graduated, to only find out that everyone now is an expert in computer technology. So I'm really a fossil at this point. And so they're in debt for $90,000. There was a couple on the radio station talking about their issues. They both received their master's degrees, and the total cost of their education, one was $130,000, the other one was $170,000. It's a $300,000 student loan debt.
Right,
that
right.
And that's why they were promoting.
Could you imagine, Mike, starting life off with that debt? That's not a house.
Yeah, it's almost unbelievable.
Hopefully to get a livelihood, right?
So they were hoping that Bernie would have got in. If he didn't totally eliminate the $300,000, he could at least negotiate down the interest rate so low that they would be able to at least pay back with very little interest. And that's very unfortunate. And it's all over, Mark, with everything that you're trying to do. People also tell me, Michael, I would feel better if there was an equal balance between domestic and imported products in the stores where I shop. I agree with your policy, 50-50. It's not an argument that anybody can disagree with. However, I tell them, if you look at the labels very closely, 90% of what's available for you to pick up in the store where you shop now has a foreign-made label. And you tell me how any president, vice president, governor, senator, House of Representatives, city council member, and mayor could have not seen that happening over the last 30 years.
And, Mike, you need the headquarters here. A lot of times our listeners, they don't understand. We want all the money here. We don't want the headquarters overseas and all their tax dollars going over to another country. We need to get them headquarters back, so we're going to have to give out incentives to make the companies come back and really grow this. You know, two things are coming up at this election. You need security. You have to have secure country, and you got to have jobs. So security and jobs, it comes down to. It's very, very difficult to make change. You got to really do it. When I hire people here, Mike, at either company, I said we're a certified nut house, and they laugh, and I said, oh, my sister's a psychiatric nurse. We're all set at the end. We get to visit Denise. But, after a month, they go by, wow, you are crazy. I mean, if you knew the work that my team and family puts into running a business just to stay afloat and get your paycheck, I just think America got lazy.
They did.
They got lazy.
Mark, you're absolutely right. And now, to make matters worse, the rising cost of food, energy, insurance, and all the basic costs of living, it's really started to hit people like they never imagined.
Right.
So
people,
they are becoming more involved in this whole campaign. They are speaking up, and they are just not spending their dollars at places that don't have them to offer. I want to mention this, too, because this is important, especially with our Buy American Made campaign and also our National Small Business Weekend. All of the local stores, your pizza shops, your bakeries, those are all small businesses. Those people are the heart and soul of America's industries. They are industries. They make those pizzas. They make those hoagies. They make those donuts. support those people, and when you do, also let them know about efforts like National Small Business Weekend and American Workers Radio, where we talk common sense. That's where you mentioned that some time ago, Mark, and people always tell me that. You said at one point, you can't teach common sense. And that's very true.
Yeah, I said, you can't go to college for drive, ambition, or common sense, you know. Very, very, you know, it's funny, and we wonder how the culture changed and how we did that. But you need drive, ambition, and common sense, because we got the smartest people that don't have common sense, and I'm not sure how we did that.
Yep, and most of the people in the elected offices, that's why they don't like people.
They're
like,
smart, but they,
yeah, they're very clever. Oh, they're very clever. They know how to hide, and they're busy. They're at meetings. They're at this or that. They're just not interested.
They know how to hide, Mike.
They know how to hide. They're
that.
Not interested.
It's not my job.
Yeah, I have somebody contact you, and then you
that
wait.
Don't work for me.
You wait for weeks for the contact to find out. I really see the point where people are at a point of being disgusted. I really do.
Yeah, and especially the hardworking people that are really trying to play this game legally. It's tough.
You know, Mark, I wanted to just take a minute to say thank you to a few people that support our broadcast on a very regular basis. And maybe we're going to have a visitor in a little bit, which everybody will. No visitor today. Uh-oh. Henry is saying no. But a visitor is busy doing his fatherly job. And I'll just mention a little bit about that when I come back. But I want to first of all say thank you to Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, whose office is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. Also, Serena's Auto Body Shop has two locations in the Philadelphia area. One is at 6201 Oxford Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. The other is at 691 Bethlehem Pike in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. Now, I want you to know that Serena's is a direct repair program, and that means that no matter what insurance company you deal with, you just call them and they will come and take your car away at a time of need. Now, nobody wants to have an accident, but when you do, remember Serena's Auto Body Shop. You can call them at 215-535-6606. And also, Mr. Joseph Drobot, who is the national president of the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, it's a fraternal insurance organization, wants to wish all of you a very enjoyable summer. He thanks you for supporting all of the efforts for the Buy American Made campaign, and he wants you also to spread the word about the PRCUA, and he invites you to give their main office a call during regular business hours at 1-800-772-8632 or visit them on the internet at PRCUA.com. Also, Mr. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, has two offices in Philadelphia, a great supporter of our daily broadcasts here on 860 AM. You can call Michael Steinman at 215-564-1866. And Dr. Eva Machak has two dental offices in Philadelphia, and one is located at 3084 Armingo Avenue. The other is at 4250 Richmond Street in the Bridesburg section. For more information, for a great smile, contact Dr. Eva Machak at 215-739-2787. And also, I want to remind you that for all of your picnic needs, go to Polka Deli, located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. And if you're planning a trip anywhere in the USA or around the world, the Polish American Travel Service at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue is there to serve all of your travel needs. For more information, give them a call at 215-634-3396. And Mr. Martin Bednarek, who is the president of the Washington Savings Bank, reminds you that they have five locations in Philadelphia to serve you. For more information, give them a call at 215-698-9400. And Yolanda Konopatska de Scipio, another very distinguished attorney at law, represents clients in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. She invites you to contact her for all of your legal needs by giving her a call at 215-423-4824. And also, Mr. Frank Spula is the national president of the PNA, the Polish National Alliance, which is America's largest life insurance fraternal organization. And he encourages you to give him a call during regular business hours at 1-800-621-3723. The PNA has representatives in all 50 states. And also, banking online is becoming a very big thing, and the Polish and Slavic Federal Credit Union is a daily participant here on 860 AM. But more importantly, they are also there to serve you on the internet or at their local offices. For more information, check them out on the internet by going to psfcu.com. Well, when you're in Philadelphia, the Sugar House Casino is there to welcome you for great entertainment. They have a great casino floor, and you can sit by the riverfront and enjoy some dinner, relax with friends. Check them out next time you're in Philadelphia. The Sugar House Casino is located at 1001 North Delaware Avenue. That's off Delaware Avenue and Spring Garden Street. And also, you can visit them on the internet 24 hours a day by going to sugarhousecasino.com. And today I'm on the radio with a very distinguished gentleman, and that is Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store. And as you heard many times during this broadcast, Mark offers only 100% American-made items. He has 7,000 items, and he's gone through a lot of work to make sure everything about those items is American-made. So check him out on the internet and support him in every way possible. If you're going up there around the Niagara Falls area, remember Mark Andel's store, and he has a few stores up that way. You can find out all their addresses by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on Mark's picture, and you'll be able to see what he has to offer. Check it out at the MadeInAmericaStore.com. Well, while we were going to do some special stuff with Dr. Logis today, but Dr. Logis was called out on a baby services. So while baby
his new boss was born, Mike.
The new boss is born. Henry and I were talking about the other day. The new boss is born, and he now has a new situation in life. So until adjustments are made, we will just have to let Rich get to those adjustments.
But what ladies, a beautiful baby, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm really honored to announce that our distinguished member of the panel, Rich Logis, became a dad last Thursday. That's August the 4th, around 10 o'clock at night. And Rich and his wife, Victoria Bojena Logis, named their little daughter Isabella. So I know that Rich has probably got his connection on listening. And Bojenka, please welcome Isabella in a great way. All of us in the Blihash family, all of us on American Workers Radio, our panel members, listeners, our supporters, Mark Andel, Larkin Connolly, Henry Chaplinsky, and myself, we all join in wishing congratulations and stolat to Rich and Victoria Logis on a very, very big week. It's not even been a week, and I will say Rich's life has totally been adjusted.
And Michael, little Isabella has more hair than most of my friends.
And you know, he now has a new position in life. He has to be a bigger supporter of everything that he's been supporting in the last few years, because now Isabella is going to depend on him.
Absolutely.
I mean, by the time she's 18 and 19 years old, America has to really improve for the better. We can't continue what we're on the path we're on now.
And, Mike, it's funny you mention that, because I always say it's for our children's future. That's what we're doing, you, Mike, and Rich, and Larkin, and our listeners, and my family, and Jackie. And you know, we all do it for our children's future. We want them to have and share the same freedoms and liberties and you know, options we had. And,
you know,
that's what it's
true.
All about.
You know, Mark, when I go around, even I mentioned I was at the Walmart, I went there specifically because there is a gentleman who told me that they're getting more and more American-made products on sale at Walmart. So I was near the store. I figured, well, okay, I'll go in and I'll check it out. And it's true. Many of the products that they're offering in certain categories, mainly food and personal items, are made in America. And the school supplies, I will say, it could be 20% American-made. The rest are still from foreign countries, and we have to change that around. I see from talking to the people at Walmart and in a lot of other places I shop at, they're discouraged because they have family members and friends that are out of a job too. And, you know, Walmart struggling along to keep the wages where they are so they can keep the prices low. And the whole thing in America would be much better if everybody had a job, people had more discretionary money, we'd be able to live a normal life rather than having people scrounge around, have to worry about depending on family, friends, government. I encourage people to take a very close look at that debt clock. I want to make a compliment, because there was a man that I worked with on expanding some of those categories. If you take a look at the debt clock now, there are more selections on that report. And by the way, they all come from the United States government. This is not me or you or somebody else making up these. These all come from the Census and the Department of Labor. And they tell the facts and the figures. What happened in recent years is we got them to change the statistics, not only tell us what happened in the last month or days or hours, but to tell us how it was back in the year 2000. So you're
Mike,
getting
a
16-year picture of exactly what happened in America in many of those categories. That's why I keep pleading with people to read it. These people have gone through a lot of work. Some people did not want this to happen because too many reports make people, you know, wonder, like, how did it happen? Well, this U.S. debt clock is a very important piece of information, because it allows us to not only speak, but also direct people to where they can see the facts and figures listed on the internet. Yes, Mark.
You know, yeah, I just, you know, a lot of money left our country and hasn't come back. It went in other economies. And when the U.S. Treasury prints more money, and we kind of joke about they can print their own money, but it's a fact, Mike, they've printed money to keep cash flow in the country, our country, because we've shipped a lot of it overseas, and it stays overseas in their banks and economies. And that's a problem.
Our debt, to be quite frank, and you will understand this, our debt, at this second, I opened the debt clock. It's $19,419,000,000,000. Let me just break it down. Take 1 minute to break that down. Every year through the federal tax system, the entire country takes in $4 trillion. That's it. $4 trillion. That's a lot of money. That's all the money that operates government, where the government fixes roads, where the government offers a portion of the money to the local schools and the various states. That's $4 trillion. We are knocking on the door of $20 trillion. That means, simply means, that we would have to not spend one penny anywhere for 5 years to just pay down that debt. That means no salaries for the presidents, none of the elected officials, no roads fixed for 5 years just to pay down that debt. Now, we're looking at an election coming up, and yet no one has stated the basic facts that I just mentioned. These are basic facts. They talk, they say statements. We are $19 trillion, but they don't break it down for the people to understand. And I'm very disappointed in the national press as well. The national press could really be the kingmakers in this election. But instead of them making sense, they're making nonsense come about by focusing on all the idioticness, the words, the statements, and all this and that. It doesn't mean anything. What means something is who's going to lead us to prosperity.
Yeah, and Mike, it always leads us back to the list that we want. We want the 10-item priority list that both can discuss and debate. And that's where we want to go for these next 2-3 months, right?
Absolutely.
That's
and
what
yet,
we want how they're going to make the change, not what each other did or said or maybe said. You know, because at this point you get two choices, and they got to start leading and really telling us how they're going to do this.
Now, both of the choices, as far as I'll tell you, all choices on every angle, even on the third and fourth parties. None of the choices are anything to write home about. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yep, absolutely.
The problem is if any of those people wanted to become a high priority in the eyes of the American people, they could do the 10-point list and put that on the internet, put that on the airwaves, call news conferences to really say what can be done to revitalize America's economy. What's disappointing, Mark, to somebody like yourself, can you imagine for 30 years, China, all these other countries, these new countries in the global economy have gone out of their way to get the newest technology, the best plants that they can come up with. They started out with less quality plants. Now they're buying the best equipment all over the world to make what they produce a better quality product, and they're shipping it over here. Our people look at it and they have no argument. The product's okay. The quality is good. It's really nicely shaped. It's nicely colored. It's nicely presented. Why isn't that taking place in America?
Yeah. You know, Mike, I always, if I had the money of Warren Buffett or Bill Gates, and, you know, we had our store and put it like the flag of America across this country in every small town, and we did speeches and talked and educated people what manufacturing, what producing in your own country, how the important, how it keeps people busy, how it gives them, you know, a sense of well-being and providing for their own families. I mean, that's what we need to do. We need to attack that.
And, you know, by the way, Mark, why isn't Warren Buffett or Gates presenting their 10 points? Let them present those and give their 10-point plan to Hillary, to Trump, and all the other candidates.
Yeah, give the money to the country that created them and gave them the success and the entrepreneurship and build this country, get stronger, then help everybody else in the world.
Trying to help America rise up to be the best it should be should not be a secret held back by any big businessman. Why are they doing it? I still don't understand it. I get a lot of my thoughts from talking to the tourists and people who are coming even to our agency for looking for jobs. I will tell you, working with PASS, I don't have anybody coming in telling me, give me the road to collecting government subsidies. I get people saying, I don't ever want to do that. I want to find out the road to success. I want to work so that I'm my own person. I don't have to depend on anybody. No one's going to ask me a lot of questions. But unfortunately, our industry's moved, so we have less places to send people. So when they ask me now, I say we are really all in a very tight situation. But by doing what we're suggesting, looking at the labels, speaking up where you shop, those all make an impression. And if people don't spend money, stores don't make profits.
Yeah. You want to get the people off of programs, and I think a lot of them want to get off of programs and help and assistance, but we have to have the jobs and the work and that area to do it. And it's a great start what we talk about, Mike. Who's going to get started?
You know, there was just recently, talking about the election, somebody who was originally from Pennsylvania started to speak up, and they came up with a petition of about 15 or maybe 30 people. They said, oh, these people are not going to vote for this candidate or that candidate because of this and that. And I looked and I said, well, wait a minute. These are the people who were elected to office for 15 and 20 years. Why weren't they speaking up when they were elected to office? Where the hell were they?
Right.
Where were they? Now, all of a sudden, oh, we don't like this one or that one. When I look at their records, none of them have such polished records either. So it is a disgrace to see what happened to America. And I'm glad you and I had this opportunity today, Mark, because it's good to talk one-on-one, and I'm very pleased to tell you that everywhere I go, listeners tell me they like this kind of conversation. They also complain to me that some of the big networks, it's all battling. It's all horrible discussions, looking for the worst person to come on and say the worst things about the next person. It's getting old. People are getting tired of it.
I want to bring up, we let this foundation use our store, our new store in Alma, New York, the site for their Hogs and Heroes bike run. And it's a great organization. It's national. They used our facility, and I helped. They put the flag up. They had a blessing for the bikes, and they did a nice run, nice day for the people. But I was asked to give a granite plaque in honor of a gentleman that lost his brother in war. And I tell you, I got all choked up, and he did, and we met, and we're probably friends for life now. This Carl Shaw lost his brother, Daniel Shaw. But, you know, when you see that American flag, our listeners see that American flag flying, you should think of everybody that sacrificed their life for this country and make sure you vote. There should be no question. Does it matter? I mean, when I have these veteran and these events that, everybody that wore our country's uniform, it's incredible the sacrifice. So that's why you've got to care and have that patriotic value and make change. That's what we need. But it's fun. When I talk to this guy that lost his brother, you really feel it, Mike. You know, what this country's about and the sacrifice that was given up for it.
Absolutely. And I'll say this to you, Mark. You have been a champion of American made more than you even realize. You are the guy who has the store, the physical plant. It's not just an idea. And people tell me that all the time. And I'm very honored that you're able to take time. You're out of your busy schedule each and every week to be with us here on American Workers Radio. And I encourage everyone to check out Mark's internet site and allow him to share his items with you. And by the way, fall is coming. Christmas will be coming. I'll depend on you supporting the Made in America store. You can check them out by going to madeinamericastore.com. Well, as you can hear by the music, we were not able to hear from Daddy Rich Logis today. But I'm sure he is getting his feet wet on the new assignment in life. And we will hope to hear from him very, very soon. Well, Mark, thanks again for being part of our broadcast today. As you can hear, Ricky Lee is playing in the background. And I'm going to say thank you again to Henry Chaplinsky. And thank you to all of our listeners for spreading the word. Without you doing your thing, speaking up where you shop, things would not be getting better in America, but they would just stay the way they are. Thank you. Have a great one. Until this Saturday at 11, best wishes to all of you.
Well, thank you, Mike, and it's an honor to be on your show. Have a great week.
Have a great.